In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. You know, my favorite thing about John the Baptist is that he's always known who the Christ is, right? Remember when Mary was pregnant and she went to go see Elizabeth when Elizabeth was also pregnant, and when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, it was the child within Elizabeth who leapt at the voice of the Mother of God, that child being John the Baptist. John has always known. Always. From before he took his first breath on this earth, he has always known who this person is and about how special this person is. As an adult, John did not know exactly who it was when Jesus showed up to be baptized. Until he spoke. And you remember that image in John's, in that story of Jesus' baptism, where John looked at Jesus and said, You of all people come to me to be baptized when it is I who should be baptized by you? He knew who he was. And when Jesus was baptized and he came up out of the water, we remember that the dove came down and the voice spoke and said, "This is my beloved son," or "You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." That he was named and claimed right then, right there as the Son of God. That is where we understand our baptism comes from. That same baptism that Jesus had is the baptism we celebrate. The Spirit came down, descended like a dove. And so then we get to this scripture reading, our gospel reading this morning. And it says, "The next day he," John, "saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, 'Here he is. This is the one. Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.'" Here he is. It's this one. It's not me. It's never been me. It's never going to be me. It's this one. Here is the Lamb of God. I am not the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb of God. He knew. And more than that, he knows what his role is. He understands what his calling is, that his job is to proclaim the one who is the Lamb of God. So then we have the next day after this. And it says, "The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, 'Look, here's the Lamb of God.'" The two disciples, they were John's disciples at this point. They followed John around. And they says, this is interesting. And so they listened to John proclaim, "Here he is, the Lamb of God." And they followed. They left John and they followed Jesus. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. This is the very beginning of all that he did in his ministry. This is the very beginning. And so he turns and he looks at these guys who are following him, like you would do if you were being followed by two guys. And he turns around and says, "What are you looking for?" And they look at him and say, "Rabbi, Rabboni, where are you staying?" "Well, come on, come and see." And so he comes, and he shows them. And it's late in the afternoon. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and this is the Middle East. It's hot, and so they stay together and they sup together. And he says, they said, we have found you." And Andrew says, "Simon, guess what? We found the Messiah." We have found the one that has been promised by the prophets. We have found the one whose coming has been foretold for generations. We have found him. It's then that Simon receives the name Peter, Cephas. Peter, the rock on which the church was built. Dear lovable Peter, my favorite disciple, who's always one titch off of right where he's supposed to be, like so many of the rest of us. But this gospel reading and this illustration and story in our scriptures is the one that gives us our calling. Among so many others in the Bible, this gives us our first calling, which is to proclaim the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. To name the Messiah that we see. Perhaps it is that we are to take a page from John's book, who sees Jesus coming and says, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." And so, we take on this task that has been put before us of being able to name him when we see him. To name when Jesus shows up. To name where we see his presence. And to proclaim the good news to all those who sit in darkness. Behold, here is the Lamb of God, come to take away the sins of the world. See how it is that he has come to us. The psalmist this morning reminds us that he waited patiently for the Lord. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods. You, God, you have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, here I am in the scroll of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. And then it continues, do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from me. Let your steadfast love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever. It's all well, fine, fun, and dandy to proclaim the Lamb of God. It is all well and good and right and the thing we should be doing to proclaim the presence of the Lord. What the psalmist admonishes us and what he admonished his audience then of is this. I have not chased after the false ones. See, it's easy, like I was telling the kids, it's easy to sit in this place among these people, this congregation, and say, I know where God is. I know my Redeemer lives. I know that the Lamb of God has come to take away the sins of the world. But I also know that when we leave this place and we are not around these people and we are not in this mindset, it's very easy to be distracted by the other things. It's very easy to seek comfort and to seek absolution and to seek fill in the blank from the other. And the truth is that peace and mercy and all of the wonderful things promised to us through our baptism and through our belief in Christ, all of those wonderful things can only come to us through Christ. That if we are seeking peace and mercy and absolution and whatever else from the other, we are never going to find it. Some of it takes waiting on the Lord, because I'll tell you what happens. I speak from my experience. I'm willing to bet I speak for yours as well. I pray to God. Something's going on, and I pray to God. And I take it to the Lord, and this is where my grandmother, God rest her soul, would say, now you've messed up, because then I start meddling with it, right? I don't have the patience to wait for God to do what God is going to do in the situation. I don't wait patiently for my Lord. I don't wait to hear what he has to say. I don't wait for him to open the door he's supposed to open. I'm sitting there tugging on the one that I think's the right one. I'm sitting there tugging on the door, and I'm tugging on the door, and it's not working. And now I'm getting frustrated. And then Pastor Christina's a little less pastor and a little more heathen. This is where I'm supposed to go, and this door is not opening. And I know this is the path I belong on. Psalmist didn't say I tugged on the door that God had closed shut. Psalmist said I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog. Okay. He pulled me out of the frozen slush pit at the end of the driveway. He set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. The truth is, though, that God does it in God's time. And God's time and Christina time are not the same time. Just as God time and any one of your time is not the same time. So, if you find yourself in the spot where you're proclaiming the good news to the captives, and release to the prisoners, and sharing the light in the darkness, and you're not seeing the results you thought you would see immediately, then you got to learn to wait. Because just maybe, it's not the right time. Maybe that field is not ready to be planted yet. God's got to do a little more tilling. Maybe that runway is not salted yet, and you can't land there because you're going to slide right off the end of the runway, right? You have to wait, and they do go together, proclaiming the news and waiting for the Lord. Because proclaiming the good news falls on deaf ears unless it's the time for God to open those ears. And God's the only one that can do that. I can beg and plead. You can beg and plead somebody to hear you, somebody to listen to the good news you have to proclaim. But if God hasn't opened their ears yet, they're not going to hear it. That doesn't mean we stop. It doesn't mean we stop proclaiming, behold, here comes the Lamb of God. Here he is. He's shown up. Behold the good things that he has done in our lives. Behold where God shows up. But it does mean we have to be patient when things don't go as fast as we think they should. It means we have to be patient when things are going faster than we think they should. Because yes, we are put here to proclaim that good news. And yes, we are put here to testify and to witness to the good things we see God doing and the ways God shows up. But we're also on his time clock. We're also on his schedule. We can't force it. We can't push faster than God wants us to move. And we can't move slower than God is pushing us along. May you have the patience to wait for God and the fortitude to keep proclaiming his name forever. Amen.